This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
We'll hear from the head coach, interim head coach of the Chicago Bears, Thomas Brown, later this hour after a 30-12 loss to the Vikings, their eighth straight. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 5 a.m. on Score Overnights on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Brian Peronsky, honorary co-host with me for the ride this overnight, won it in the Cubs for a Cure auction. We thank him for his charity and his generosity, and it's good to have you along for the ride, Ryan. Good first hour, go as you expected.
First hour was great. Yeah,
it's pretty cool being on the Score, isn't it? It's like a dream come true.
It's a dream come true. Everybody should donate as much as they can to the whatever the charity is for the next radio.
And you can also dial 312-644-6767 or text that number if you want to get in on the show as well. We've been talking about the loss, another one that just felt non-competitive. From the start, even when it was a one-score game, it felt like a two- or a three-score game. But before the Vikings finally broke it open in the second half. You want to talk about this game, 312-644-6767, or any other Bears thoughts that you might have on your mind, like Quentin, who's on the road and dialed that number, wants to do, and now he's on the Score. What's up, Quentin?
Hi there, guys. I'm on the AL heading to work on the Blue Line train. I work at the airport. I'm a baggage handler. I'm going to say this. I am so sick and tired of the Bears losing games. This is another division loss. We lost to Detroit. We lost to Minnesota. We lost to the Packers. Enough is enough. My top three coaches are Eric the Enemy, Mike Vrabel, and Pete Carroll. Those are my top three coaches that I want to interview. I talked to George McCaskey last week, and I told him we need Eric the Enemy. He is connected to Ryan Poles anyway. That's who we need. That's what I'm saying. I'm tired of the Bears losing. I don't even watch the Bears no more. I see the Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl. That's what I see, because they're going to get home field advantage, not Detroit. I don't see it.
I appreciate the call, Quentin, and I appreciate you doing what you do out there at the airport. We don't get where we're going. More importantly, our luggage doesn't get where it's going without Quentin and people like him. I hope if he saw George McCaskey at the airport, and he handled his luggage a little bit rougher than he handles the rest of the luggage. Like, maybe some things didn't make it to the other side of the trip.
You know, I'd like to hear if Quentin got any feedback from George McCaskey on Quentin's coaching recommendations.
It is, dude. I'm as tired of it as Quentin is. Again, like I said earlier in the show, I'm done like feeling mad or sad about it. I'm more just like, I don't know, introspective and trying to figure out how they fix this thing. But when he talks about the division. And the fact that they're probably going to go winless in the division. After last year, they split with Minnesota,
And they had a chance to split with Detroit. They blew it in the fourth quarter. Matt LaFleur and the Packers just, they have our number. There's nothing, no way around that. But beyond just losing to these teams, Brian, when you look at the big picture and what these teams are and what they're going to be for the foreseeable future, like it makes the Bears situation seem that more daunting and bleak in terms of getting where they're trying to go when you look at what they have to go through to get there, starting right in their own division and maybe the three, if not three of the best teams in the NFC right now that they have to compete with six times and try and outdo them in the standings on a year in, year out basis. Like, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon when you talk about how tough the NFC North is.
No, not at all. And I mean, it is a historically good division this year, I believe, you know, by several different measures. I think that maybe that's something that I should be mad about this game that I'm not. The first three losses, those were close, right? We had the blocked field goal against Green Bay.
Yep.
Minnesota
went to overtime.
That was, you know, an exciting moment at the end of the fourth quarter there to see Caleb drive, get that score, you know, go back, drive for the field goal. And then Detroit, of course, we had the game that was on national TV and got Eberflus fired. Those were a field goal, lost by a field goal, and then Green Bay was a one-point game, right? So perhaps you could take some solace in that, feel that we're not that far off. But then, yeah, you look at today, they were ultimately outplayed, outcoached, and they're looking worse, not better.
Yeah, and they're going to have to go through the NFC North to do it. As far as his coaching candidates, he named off three. He said Vrabel and Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is just too old. I'm sorry. I don't know if that sounds like ageism. I said the same thing.
I think that's illegal, Rami, so it's good you're not hiring for the Bears.
I said the same thing about Bill Belichick, who may be the greatest coach in the history of this league. I just don't want somebody who's going to be here for the short term when we have Caleb Williams.
I think that's right.
Yeah. I want somebody you want to attach at the hip with him, and you know we have our quarterback and coach for the next 10, 15 years if everything works out. So Vrabel doesn't – first of all, Vrabel doesn't really – impress me. Like when you look at what he did in Tennessee, like it was competitive, but I never thought that the Titans were like a force to be reckoned with or a team that was going to come out of that side of the bracket. And I want an offensive minded head coach. Like I'm not interested in either of those guys. He brought up Eric Bieniemy. I had to Google where is Eric Bieniemy
He
was just fired from UCLA as their assistant head coach and offensive coordinator. I don't know what it is with Eric Bieniemy. This is a guy who for a long time people were like, why can't he get a job? Why can't he even get a look or an interview? And look, man, when people are saying it might be race related, I'm open to that.
Fair assumption.
I have my eyes open to those things. And I'm like, yeah, it might be. But at this point, like, The dude, if he was good enough for as much racism as there is out there and as big a part as it can play in hiring, if he was good enough, somebody would have hired Eric Bieniemy by now, and he wouldn't be out as the UCLA offensive coordinator and assistant head coach.
Yeah, I think that's right. Bieniemy may have had the unfortunate timing of people realizing, let's not just keep trying to hire Andy Reid's offensive coordinators, who may not actually be calling plays, may not be running the offense, right? We did that with Nagy.
True.
Vrabel intrigues me a little bit. Sure, he's a defensive coach, so to speak, but the Titans did, I believe they were the first seed coming out of the AFC or the second seed 1 year. They had a bye, and they were working with Ryan Tannehill, you know, not a great roster overall. I think good line. And so being able to do well with, you know, what from my outsider's perspective is not a good roster intrigues me. Certainly the kinds of mistakes, the things that Eberflus was doing, not thinking about timing, not calling timeouts. Right. I think we've seen, you know, a lot of the opposite. There's a game, and I can't remember when he kind of out-Belichicked Belichick. You know, he took a intentional delay of game to run, you know. So those things are intriguing, I think, and he certainly has the appearance of someone that can rally the troops, bring people together, you know, create the culture of winning.
A buddy of mine, Bart Winkler, who folks here, we're actually preempting him right now. He hosts late nights on Infinity Sports Radio, and you catch him right here on The Score. we worked together for a long time in Milwaukee, and he would always say during the Vrabel years, Tennessee would be good right up until you started to believe in them, and then they'd show you why you shouldn't.
Yes.
Like, that was their MO under Mike Vrabel the entire time. And I just, even that year that they were the first or the second seed, I just wasn't buying it. And you're right, a lot of that is roster related, but I never saw a Mike Vrabel team, and I was like, wow, man, that is game changing. Like, the way that they're playing football is evolutionary, and I've never seen anything like that. Like you see with I like coaches who impress me. Like, with whether it's their personality, where I'm like, wow, man, that's a guy you want to follow, or whether it's like with the game plans and the schemes that they put out there, like a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan
or Matt Nagy or
a Kevin O'Connell when they can get more out of guys than what you see there with Mike Vrabel. Like, there isn't that thing there where I'm like, wow, like that guy, you know what I'm like, whoa, that guy right there, that's impressive.
Yeah. So look, I haven't studied this. I haven't gone back and
sure.
looked at who was really on the roster, you know, but certainly the perception I had was, one, he seems like somebody that leads people, you know,
that I'll give him. He's a leader of men.
He is a leader of men,
to use a football cliche,
which we know the Bears are looking for.
Yes,
they told us at the press conference.
Absolutely.
So he is a leader of men. He's got that. And, yeah, I never believed in the Titans because they just seemed like a team that wasn't that good. And he seemed to be getting more out of the team. And right now we've kind of got, or at least in the middle of the year, we thought maybe we had the opposite, right, which is a team with a lot of talent all around that is not as good as at least we perceive that talent to be, right?
Yep. 312-644-6767. This from the 815. Rami's first Bears Monday on a Tuesday. I think it is. I think you're right. And that is indeed momentous. From the 630, welcome to Bears nihilism. Why get mad about a team that's been 6-12 for our entire lives?
I concur.
Adrian in Oceanside. Yes.
Yeah. I think we had that conversation.
And this from the 574, even though Caleb went from having a few bad passes each game, but mostly great passes early on, and now it seems to have gotten worse. I still feel really great about our QB compared with the whole Justin Fields question we were having last year. In his first games, he's come back and should have won three, only to have others lose the games. I don't regret the fact we have Caleb instead of Justin. He's going to be great, hopefully, with the Bears. That's Brian in Mishawaka again. Yeah, I'm not going to get down on Caleb Williams, man. Like, and the last 2 weeks have not been good. They have not been good. But I'm not going to get down on that, dude, because to me, the things that we see from Caleb Williams are things you see from rookie quarterbacks. Like, for everything that's going wrong around him, for all the chaos and dysfunction that's going on around him, and I said, eventually that will get to him, and that will either hold him back in his development or just break him, and he'll never be the quarterback that we thought he could be. But for everything going on around him, I feel like he's held it together pretty well and has probably progressed and developed as well as any quarterback would in this situation, in this environment.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's clearly a bright spot. I don't think he's shown you anything that suggests he's the problem, and he's had some great moments, right?
Some really good moments.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, a question that occurred to me as I was making the drive into the studio tonight for you, Brian Peronsky, my honorary co-host for the night, and you guys out there at 312-644-6767. As I was driving in and listening to this game and hearing the clock tick towards their eighth straight loss and a 4-10 record, I was like, did I ever think, like, I remember before the season started, there was a lot of hype, Brian, and there was Hard Knocks and everything else, and I was trying to think back to before the season started and all of us going through worst case and best case scenarios of this season. Did you ever think it could be this bad? 312-644-6767 if you want to give us a call or drop us a text. To lose eight straight and be sitting here at 4-10 in Caleb Williams' rookie year with going and getting Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and DeAndre Swift in the offseason and the 7 wins to finish last year and all the talk about a top 5 defense. Did you ever think it would get this bad when looking ahead to this season and going through all the different scenarios that could play out? 312-644-6767.
Yeah, the hype was unreal.
Yes, it really was.
I thought I was being skeptical and fighting back by, you know, picking the win total around 8 or 9. So let's not get carried away. But no, I don't think, certainly didn't see it this bad. And I think as you look through it, look, I think you've got the close games, right? You've got the ones where I think are fair to blame on the coach. But the couple that really, tonight was a bad one. And the two that really kind of broke me, the Arizona game.
Yep.
Where we scored 9 points and then getting blown up by New England, who might be the worst team in the league. At that time, I think I was pretty certain they were.
They're in year one of a rebuild. They're where the Bears were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. They're able to not only beat the Bears,
they dominated
handily
them.
Dominate the Bears in year three of their rebuild.
Yeah. So things like that, certainly was not expecting we could get that bad.
I don't know. Like when you say 8 straight losses and you say 4-10, I don't know that I ever thought it would be that bad, but I did. Now, I will also say, I got caught up in the hype. I remember being here for the show after, was it the second preseason game or the third preseason game that they actually let Caleb play, and he made that crazy throw to Roma Dunze. He was rolling out to the left and twisted his body and threw it like 30 yards downfield on a line to Roma Dunze. And all of us, like jumped out of our chairs. We're like, we got it. We got a quarterback. Oh my God. I remember after that game being here and telling Robbie Triano, my producer, to hit the Super Bowl shuffle. Like I got caught up in it too, but there were also more sane moments where I was like, guys, I know everybody wants to crown Ryan Poles King Poles. And to quote the great Denny Green, if you want to crown his ass, then crown his ass. But I'm not quite ready to go there yet. I came into the season with 3 major questions about this thing that Ryan Poles put together, like this grand scheme and the design of this whole thing that Ryan Poles put together. And they were to start at the top. Do they have an NFL head coach in Matt Eberflus? Like, we don't know that. We're going into year 3 of a rebuild, and do they have an NFL head coach? That was question number 1. Question number 2 was, what do they have in Shane Waldron? Not that I had my doubts, like I did with Matt Eberflus and called for him to be fired on a couple of different occasions, but with Shane Waldron, it was just like this unknown. You know what I mean? I know he was a play caller and an offensive coordinator in Seattle. I just didn't watch Seattle week in and week out to know what he did and what he was going to bring to the table. And also, I just didn't know how much of that was him. And I don't follow the Seahawks on a week-to-week basis to know how much of that was him, how much of that was players, how much, you know what I mean? There are a lot of different things that go into an offense taking off the way that offense did. And the third one that I had was, what is this offensive line? Can they protect Caleb Williams and give him the time to throw the football and keep him upright so he can learn the NFL and pick up this league, because nobody learns the NFL from their back or while running from their lives. So while I guess I never envisioned 8 straight losses, while I guess I never envisioned a 4-10 record, I was bringing up those things. And if I had ever taken like a step back and was like, or if anybody had asked me, like, hey, what if all 3 of those things get answered in the worst way possible? Like, how bad could this thing get? I could have pictured 8 straight losses. I could have pictured 4-10. I never let my mind go there when having those questions about this football team. But if I ever did, and having those questions about this football team, those are any one of those 3 things. If you don't have the right head coach, if you don't have the right offensive coordinator, if you don't have a good offensive line, any one of those factors could tank a plan or a scheme like Ryan Poles has. For all 3 of them to get answered in the worst way possible and to go wrong, yeah, man, that's how you lose football games. That's how you end up being a 5 or a 6 win football team.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'll give you some credit because I listened to one of your shows when you were having a saner moment, and you highlighted on the air that Eberflus is, as we sit here right now before the season, has to be the worst head coach in the division.
Yes.
and we'll see if he's going to get better. But I agree. I think it made sense to not go there, right? Last year, when we were still rebuilding, year two of the rebuild, we had a team with 7 wins, right? I don't think we're getting there this year. I mean, we're almost certainly not.
No.
I predict we're going to end at 4 wins. And so I think regressing to be worse than that was not something anybody envisioned.
And 8 straight losses. Like, that's, again, this is tied for the second longest losing streak in Bears franchise history. And they reached the longest losing streak in Bears franchise history halfway through last year, losing 14 straight. Like, this has just been a run of futility, and part of it by design. When you talk about Ryan Poles tearing down the roster and going through a total rebuild, this is a run of futility that's for all the futility and all the losing and all the mediocrity that we've watched throughout our lives as Bears fans, this is as bad as it's gotten here in the last 2 years. And last year, I think a lot of us were okay with it. This year, we decided to have expectations, and some of that might have been misplaced, but I certainly don't think any of us thought it could get this bad. Again, I didn't let it get that far in terms of the specifics of how bad it could get when going through these holes and deficiencies that they had in this plan and this scheme, but it adds up. It makes sense when you think about where the holes were in this plan or where the mistakes were made in this plan, that they are where they are, and we're talking about the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think when you put it that way, it is shocking, right? Because being a Bears fan my whole life, we've seen some awful, awful teams.
Yeah.
We've seen some terrible quarterback play. You know, we've started seasons 0-7. And yeah, in year three, when we get the QB, we've got a GM that was making a lot of the right decisions. He had a plan to rebuild, to realize that this is now the longest losing streak for the Bears, who have to have plenty of them.
Yeah, when you're saying it's bad for the Bears, it's bad. Yeah, like, yeah, that's really, really bad. Yes. Dude, Tyler, you said something a second ago.
No, I was just gonna say they were supposed to win this year. I think anybody who had expectations for them, they weren't out of line. They weren't thinking over their head. The way that last season ended and the way that they upgraded this team again this year with not only the money but the shiny new draft picks, they were supposed to take another step forward and win this year.
Yes, I've said that a number of times. When people call up or text and they go, you shouldn't have had these expectations. You have yourself to blame for being disappointed because you shouldn't have had these expectations coming into the season. I went, look, even as I think one of the more grounded, realistic Bears fans coming into this season and telling a lot of people to sort of pump their brakes on some of this stuff, just a simple math that Tyler just did. You won 7 games last year. Your defense took leaps and bounds forward in terms of their progression and their improvement. On offense, you upgraded at quarterback. Even though he's a rookie, you upgraded at quarterback. You upgraded twice over at wide receiver. You upgraded at running back. Adding 2 or 3 wins, just that simple math of 7 wins last year, you're moving in the right direction. Upgrades this year, adding 2 or 3 wins to the 7 they had last year was not crazy. I just think a lot of us, and myself included to an extent, to not go, well, what if these questions don't get answered, right? A lot of us, like, we didn't let ourselves think the other way of like, yeah, this looks good, and if everything goes right, it's going to be great. A lot of us didn't allow our minds to go in the other direction and go, well, man, what if this doesn't work? How bad could it be? And here we are, 8 straight losses and 4-10 later.
And that's where I think you question the organization, right? Because they had those expectations, whether they, you know, Ryan Poles thought they would go to the playoffs this year or just improve. Obviously, who knows? But you don't draft a punter if you know you've got a bunch of other holes on your team to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a trade for 1 year of Keenan Allen for a 4th-year pick if you don't think you are there or just about there. You don't draft a wide receiver number 9 if you don't think that the rest of your team is built, you know, in this draft with
right.
all the offensive line done.
Right.
So I think, you know, I was also saying at the beginning of the year, people are getting a little carried away. But again, my realistic one was dial it back from 10 or 11 wins to 8 or 9.
Yeah, Hanneman, I said 9, 10 at best, which yep. I think is fair. And while I did have the questions of what is this head coach, what is this offensive coordinator, what is this offensive line, I never let my imagination go, well, man, if the coach isn't good and the offensive coordinator isn't good and the offensive line isn't good, we could be looking at a 4-win football team. Like, I had those questions, but I didn't let my imagination run as wild as maybe I did in thinking, how bad could this be? We all thought how good it could be, but did you ever think it could be this bad with the Bears losing their 8th straight in Minnesota today? 30-12, the final. That's Brian Peronsky, my honorary co-host for the night from our Cubs for a Cure auction. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass, and you, the star of the show, at 312-644-6767 on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.
Let's get back to
this fall. Choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's the show. That's who we're brought to you by. I'm Rami Makhlouf, honorary co-host for the overnight into the morning. Brian Peronsky from our Cubs for a Cure auction. We'll hear from Thomas Brown in just a few minutes. I went to Tyler in the producer booth during the break. I said, "Hey, we'll play Matt Eberflus back this break." So I'm still stuck in the past. I can't get my brain out of that time. But no, it'll be Thomas Brown, the interim head coach of the Chicago Bears. You can get in at 312-644-6767. I was asking, did you think it could possibly be this bad that we'd be looking at a team with 8 straight losses and a 4-10 record 15 weeks into the season? 312-644-6767 or any other Bears thoughts that you might have on your mind. This text from the 773. "This is the most dysfunctional effing team I've ever seen in my effing life. I'm sad to say that I'm a Bears fan." I've said this before, Brian. If I could, you were saying during a break, you're a White Sox fan. You came in with your White Sox jacket tonight. You said before last Sox season started, you were contemplating. You said, this is it. This is the year I go over to the Cubs. I can't do this anymore. I've said before, if I could, if I had it in me, I would find a different football team. Like that's how bad the Bears have been throughout my life. I can't. Like, it just, like, in my gut, I don't know. We probably should go just find another football team because they keep doing this to us. I just can't, man. And it is sad that I'm a Bears fan.
Well, and I think now we've gone, there was a time when they were just bad and we weren't sure where it was going to go. Right?
Yeah.
But I think the last three regimes have given us hope, right? And I think that's what's the most frustrating and the most upsetting for fans is we brought in the other Matt and Ryan, Pace and Nagy, you know,
yep.
He went and got Trubisky. There was a year where that looked like it could work, right? Mm-hmm. That all fell apart. They are able to get Justin Fields at pick 11. He shows some things that look good. We get excited again. Then we get Poles in who is saying all the right things and making a lot of the right moves, right? To rebuild.
Yeah.
Do all the things that some of the callers have highlighted. Yeah. And so I think then to end up here is it's hard to get away, right?
Have you ever thought about jumping ship from the Bears?
No.
I haven't either. Like, no. I can't. I wish I had it in me.
To be clear, I couldn't actually do it with the Sox. I did not watch of their games.
You did. I should have put that caveat on the end. You thought about it,
yeah.
But you never actually did jump ship from the Chicago White Sox. But this is a football show. This text I got when I was going through all the other teams that rebuilt faster than where the Bears are earlier in the show from the 815. Those other teams were not left with the bleep show. Pace left Poles. Dude, the Lions were 3-13-1. And the absolute laughingstock of the NFL when they hired their new GM and coach 3 years ago, the same time that the Bears hired their new GM and coach. You cannot defend where this thing is in year three of a rebuild. There are teams all over this league that have done it faster than what Ryan Poles has done with as bad or worst of situations. He was handed a bad deck of cards. I'm not going to say he wasn't. It wasn't the worst situation that a general manager has ever been handed, and they've been as bad as you can be since he's been handed that situation, whatever it was. There is no excuse or any way to sugarcoat where this team is at in year three of Ryan Poles' rebuild. There just isn't.
And I think something you were talking about, you never thought it could get this bad. One thing that you noticed, a lot of people noticed, and a lot of people talked about at the end of last year was he should get rid of Eberflus.
Yes.
And I think we may not have been sitting there thinking, what if we lose 8 in a row? What if we're 4-10? But a lot of people were looking ahead to, what if this doesn't work out next
right.
year?
Yep.
Then you're going to have to get rid of Eberflus. He hasn't shown anything yet. And granted, he hadn't really been given an opportunity with the right roster, right? He had shown some problematic things.
Yes.
Right? Hired a lot of bad coordinators. Right? They had to fire a couple of people. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us did look at, well, what if the season is so bad you have to get rid of him? And now you're doing the same thing we've done with our last three QBs, or our last two QBs.
It's even worse than we thought it could be, because we were all sitting here going, well, man, we're gonna have a QB going into his second year with his second head coach and his second offensive play caller in as many years. Same thing we saw with Justin Fields. Same thing we saw with Mitch Trubisky. Because they fired Shane Waldron midseason, and it doesn't look like Thomas Brown is going to win the job here down the stretch. He's going to be on his second head coach and his third play caller.
Yes.
Going into his second season. Not his second play caller, his second offensive coordinator. He's going to be on his second head coach and his third offensive coordinator going into his second year in the NFL. that is that instability and dysfunction that even, as you said, Brian, if you didn't think it would be this bad, that we all had in the back of our minds of, if it doesn't work out the way we thought it would, then this is what we're going to be looking at going into year two of Caleb Williams. Same thing we saw in year two of Justin Fields. Same thing we saw in year two of Mitch Trubisky. That was a concern. While, yeah, a lot of us weren't letting our imaginations run this wild of 8 straight losses and a 4-10 record, that was a concern that was in the back of a lot of Bears fans' minds about the big picture and what this will look like heading into year two if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, and so I think you can stack up a lot of good decisions, a lot of good things that Ryan Poles did. But that decision alone, right, when you have the opportunity to get the number one QB, you know, one of one overall, mm-hmm. which, he engineered that. There was no guarantee that Carolina was going to be the worst team in the league. It worked out that way. That was, that may be the decision that makes or breaks his tenure as a GM. I mean, so far it hasn't. Kevin Warren has said he's our GM, he's the guy. But that is a very important decision that a lot of, a lot of idiots that sit around and listen to the score and call in were thinking about, like me.
And I'm not sitting here on, what is the date today? December
the 17th now.
Now it's the 17th. I'm not sitting here on December 17th and saying fire Ryan Poles, but I also, I can't sit there and nod in agreement with Kevin Warren when he basically guarantees Ryan Poles that he'll be the GM of this team and in the coaching search and moving forward, because we'll get into more of this coming up in the 2 o'clock hour of the show. He, and especially now that Matt Eberflus is gone, Ryan Poles has to wear not just the makeup of this roster in terms of the players and what they can go out there and do on the field, the makeup of this roster in terms of the fabric of this team, the personality, the culture of this team, and do they have gamers? Do they have some dogs on this roster who give a crap, man, who are going to go out there and compete at a certain level no matter what the situation around them is, whether they're winning or losing or their coach just got fired or, the guy next to them just got injured. Guys who have a certain level of pride and are going to come out and compete at a certain level week in and week out, which we just haven't seen. We didn't see it with Matt Eberflus, and since Eberflus has been fired, we still have not seen it in these 2 weeks. Did you ever think it could get this bad? 312-644-6767, and we'll hear from Thomas Brown in just a second, but we're going to go out to Roselle. And Dan, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dan?
Hey, fellas. I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. You're right about pretty much all that, except for I'm not willing to blame Poles for a lot of this. He's had to build this whole entire team. I think there's probably only maybe 5 guys I could think of that were already on the roster before Poles came over, like Johnson, Brisker, I think Komet and Jenkins. I don't know who else, but he's had to build this entire team. So, yeah, it can be done faster, like what you see with the Lions, but I think that's rare. That's tough to do. I don't expect them to get to the championship game right away. We were hoping that they'd be playoff contenders, not fighting for a Super Bowl. So, he really dropped the ball on the offensive line. I think that's the biggest, glaring weakness and mistake that he's made. But other than that, I think he's put together a good team, and I put most of the blame on ownership and the McCaskies. We've seen this year after year with them. Personally, I would have liked to see Jim Harbaugh be the head coach. I don't know if that's what Poles wanted or not, but I know that the McCaskies are the ones who wouldn't allow him to fire Eberflus last year if that's what he wanted to do. But I know for sure that they wouldn't have brought in a guy like Harbaugh. So coaching is a huge part of this. Ownership's a huge part. I think Poles has done a pretty good job. Like I said, he dropped the ball on the offensive line. Could have done a little bit better on the D-line too. But he got us 3 really good receivers. I think he's got us a franchise quarterback. Only 1 offensive lineman, unfortunately. But he's put together a pretty good defense. They've been solid since he's come in. So when you got to replace, 40, 45 guys, maybe even more, it's going to take some time. And you're going to have some misses in there too. Look at a guy like Dexter or Billings. They've been good when they play or shown flashes anyways. So they haven't been the all-stars that we'd hope they'd be. But I think they've you know, they're serviceable at least.
But what
you know,
about
you're going to get some of those guys.
Yeah, but Dan, what about just the coaching decision to keep Eberflus when Poles ended up in the position that his trade with Carolina, which was a great trade, gave them the first pick overall, right? He doubled down. That was his decision. I don't think you can try to blame that on the McCaskies.
I think that was a great move.
To keep Eberflus at the end of last year?
No, not that. Not that at all. I thought you meant the trade. No, keeping Eberflus was a mistake. And I don't know who to blame for that, if that was a Poles move or if that was a McCaskey move.
Yeah, I don't, Dan, I appreciate the call.
Poles off the hook for that.
I'm not going to let him off. And I don't know who made that decision, and I don't really care. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, this thing is Ryan Poles' baby to own. And no GM is making every decision by themselves. Well, I guess I can't say no GM. There are probably some organizations out there where their general manager has earned certain level of capital and credibility with their organization that they just say, okay, go do your thing. You know what I mean? Most GMs have somebody meddling or interfering or giving their two cents. Okay, so whether it was Ryan Poles or the McCaskies, I don't care. But man, okay, I said I wasn't going to get mad. Now I'm getting mad because too many people are having too much patience or are giving too much leash to Ryan Poles when talking about how long this thing should take. And Dan is one of them. When he's talking, did you have to get rid of 45 or 48 guys from Ryan Pace's roster? Did Ryan Poles have to do that, or was that a choice that he made? That was a choice that he made. He didn't have to do that. He could have kept Roquan Smith. He could have kept David Montgomery. He could have kept Darnell Mooney. And maybe we don't have to lose on purpose for 2 years and then lose by accident in year three. But I've already given you the example of all the organizations across this league right now who are ahead of the Bears in terms of how fast they went from zero to contending, so to speak. But that's apparently not working, folks. That's not hitting home with folks. I'll give you a different exercise. Find me the team, find me the organization in the NFL right now. Open up whatever app it is that you use to thumb through the NFL. Find me the organization that's in year three of a rebuild with no hopes of making the playoffs and with a fan base that's happy with where they're at and believes in what they're doing. Find that for me. That doesn't exist. That team and that fan base is not in this league. There is not a team or an organization that's in year three of a rebuild with no hopes or expectations of making the playoffs this year, and the fans are sitting there nodding along and going, yes, we are right on track. That doesn't exist. That's not in this league. That's not how this league works. It doesn't take that long. There's no way we should be sitting here in week 15 of Ryan Poles' tenure with a 4-8 record, 8 straight losses, no hopes of doing everything, and people going, well, yeah, but look at the situation that he had. Other teams had bad situations too. It didn't take them this long. And if it is taking them this long, their fan bases are as pissed off about it as we are, and they should be. It shouldn't take this long to do this. It just shouldn't. Flat out. Period. End of story. That organization doesn't exist out there.
And something else I'll highlight, I think you make a great point, right? That Poles got rid of a lot of players. He didn't have to.
Yes.
Right. He was losing on purpose. That may have been a great strategy. I think there's some things we saw though, right, when he came in, you know, a lot of speculation based on what was going on in trading camp that Tevin Jenkins was going to go, right? So he's one of these guys that seems to, you know, favor his guys, not others. So he didn't have to get rid of all those people and rebuild everything. And remember this, the Ryan Pace Bears were coming off of, it was the new seventh seed.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming off of two playoffs in a row, I think, right?
Yep.
Before Poles came in. And now we've got three zero chance at playoff seasons in a row, right? We've got 4 wins in the third year. The other thing I'd say for the people that believe everything's, you know, Ryan Poles is doing a great job, everything's on track, is What's your prediction for next year? What is he going to bring in that's going to turn this team into a contender?
That's a conversation I want to get into in the 2 o'clock hour. Great teaser. You're good at this thing already. That's Brian Poronski, my honorary co-host for the evening. And we'll get back to your calls, your thoughts on the Bears in the 2 o'clock hour. And just where do they go from here? How do they fix this from here? We'll get into that discussion in the 2 o'clock hour. But I did want to hear from Bears interim head coach Thomas Brown after the 30 to 12 loss. I wish it was 30 to 20 something. 30 to 12 loss in Minnesota today. The Bears 8 straight. Here's Thomas Brown afterwards.
Obviously disappointing again just with the result. Kind of what I just saw the guys in the locker room. Myself in particular was not good enough for the entire group. Wanted to be aggressive going into the game was kind of a point of emphasis for our unit to kind of be able to stay on the grass and make some plays. Backfire early. Defense, I thought, battled their butts off, put us in really good spots, and kept us in the game for the most part. I thought special teams also played particularly well. But, you know, when you end up having 9 penalties, you're 1 of 12 on third down, makes it very difficult to stay on the grass, sustain drives, and just too many players kind of end up biting us in the butt. So, questions.
Thomas, what's your understanding of what happened with Braxton yesterday and then the shuffle that it caused for you guys to land?
Yeah, I mean, I was just told he reported symptoms on Sunday morning, and so obviously got ruled out from there.
The decision to play, you could have played a veteran or a rookie. Why go with
Kareem? Well, I have confidence in his ability. I think being able to have an opportunity to work him in that spot, he kind of been rotating the last few days and weeks also behind Braxton, so it's more about just the spot playing on the left side.
Why was the passing game so limited as far as downfield in the first half?
Well, throw the ball down if you got to protect. So that obviously affects some stuff that you do. I think being able to also understand what this defense does as far as disguising and pressuring. Like Grissom said, the first game, you can't make a living trying to chuck the ball down the fist when they create so many turnovers. And even on the third down where we had a strip sack, it was a 3rd and 8, try to hold the ball a little bit longer. So those kind of deter you from wanting to take shots down the field.
With Kramer with the reporting issue, what was your view from the sideline? What was your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, normally when he reports in the game, his back is turned to me, so I can't always tell if he does or he doesn't. I think if there was some indecision, I could have just called a timeout, saved it, and got back in the huddle. So I put that on myself.
Thomas, did you have a view on the strip sack, on what happened there?
Just got beat.
Thomas, Jalen didn't have a captaincy patch. Is he still a captain?
Jalen? Of course he is. Yep. Yep. To the captain. Yep. I didn't even see it, so I can't speak on that. But he's definitely a captain. He's in every captain's meeting. And it's a guy that speaks for our group a lot. Actually did a really good job on, I guess, Saturday's practice after we kind of broke it down. So let him kind of get in the middle and did a great job of delivering a Tommy message. So he's definitely a captain on and off the field for us.
What's your frustration level with the 4th downs that didn't convert?
I'm frustrated with all of it. I think just trying to find ways to put us in better spots, design some better plays, call better plays, we can execute them better. So anytime we're not able to stay on the grass and move the ball and score points, I'm going to be frustrated. So about the same as I am with everything else.
There's still 3 games left. It feels like a team that doesn't have a lot left in the tank. How do you get them across the finish line of January 6th?
I would disagree with you. I think if you watch the tape, our guys battled into the very end. So I think saying that we don't have a lot left in the tank alludes to our guys quit. And I didn't see that at all on tape. So I think our guys will continue to battle like they've been battling. I'm continuing to fight for them and stay behind them. And so we'll go back to work.
Back-to-back really lopsided losses. That's why I make that judgment. You disagree that you guys still have the ability to compete with these teams?
Again, I would challenge you to go turn the tape on and see who didn't play hard or didn't finish. I think it's more about me putting us in better spots on offense to execute and stay on the grass better. And obviously, defense will continue to make strides.
You guys went to the locker room at halftime scoreless for the 3rd time in 3 games.
Yep.
I know if you could put your finger on it, you'd fix it.
1,000%. Yep.
But do you have a sense of what's contributing to all that?
The sense I got to be better. So put us in better spots, make better plays. That's the sense I have.
Tell us just some throws that Caleb makes where it feels like he's got a one-on-one opportunity and they're misfired by 4 or 5 feet. How do you get him in a mindset of being able to put balls where they can be more 50-50 opportunities and give some of these guys a chance?
I think it's not a one-size-fits-all answer to that question, just because it may be different between the rush, the coverage that he's facing as well. But just trying to find ways to find a matchup to exploit, but also protect the QB long enough we can stand in the pocket, feel firm, sit on his back foot and deliver, and like you said, a 50-50 opportunity ball for some of our guys.
When you report with an O-lineman eligible, is it someone's responsibility to make sure he checks in? Is that like...
He checked with the ref.
Oh, he did? Or what? He checked
normally,
with the ref.
Yes, yeah. That's what normally happens.
But is there a coach on the sideline or anybody who... supposed to keep an eye on that?
I think we keep an eye on everything that happens before and after the snap. We have a lot of guys delegate to different areas of the field. Like I said, if it was in question, I could have just called a timeout to save it and get us back in the huddle and have the same play call. So,
check the pass rushers back there right away. What's realistic to expect from Caleb in that situation?
For him? I mean, he can't see the ball, can't see the defender coming, so I can't expect him to be able to have eyes in the back of his head. I think obviously being on the road, the noise does have an effect when it comes to guys getting off on a snap versus us not. But let's just be better in that situation. Also, I can do a better job of calling a better play with the ball and come out faster versus holding on to it. That'll help out too.
The challenge of getting Karan ready for his career start on the road, not a lot of prep time and short notice, obviously, when he knows he's going to be.
I think he's been prepping the entire time. I think as far as being in meetings, he's been rotating, like I said before, splitting reps with Braxton. So just more about thinking about if we had to make some adjustments later in the game, just myself on the call sheet making some notes about max protect and those type of things. So, but he's a tough dude. He's going to be a really good player. He's still a good player for us right now. So he'll get better. We'll all get better. I'll get better.
There's Thomas Brown, Bears interim head coach, after the 30-12 loss to the Minnesota Vikings, their eighth straight loss. A couple things out of that. First of all, Brian Poronski, my honorary co-host for the night from our Cubs for a Cure auction. You said early on, I like this guy. Like, you hear him talk and you like that guy.
Yeah.
He looks and sounds the part of a head coach very well. And he's been put in a tough spot. This might be an unsalvageable situation and a situation that's impossible for him to come out smelling like roses from.
It feels like he's got no chance.
Yes.
But he seems like he could do great things.
Now, that being said, I will take issue with a couple of things that he did tonight and talked about there. Not the Doug Kramer not checking in. That's not Doug Kramer and nobody else. Somebody asked him, is somebody supposed to be making sure of that? He was like, yeah, Doug. Doug's supposed to be checking in with the ref. So there's that. The play calling was not good tonight. They were not committed enough to the run, especially early in the game, and with a rookie left tackle there, and there was almost no play action. Kurt Warner and Troy Aikman talked about that. I watched the first half and listened to a lot of the second half on Westwood One Radio, both Hall of Fame quarterbacks talking about the play calling. And the other thing, and look, man, Thomas Brown is being a head coach when he defends his guys and their effort out there, but both of those Hall of Fame quarterbacks that I just mentioned talked about the Bears' lack of energy and lack of intensity these last 2 weeks, and really since Washington. And Thomas Brown is saying, go turn on the tape, tell me who didn't play hard. And there might not be something that you can point at on tape and go, that guy gave up on that play or something like that. But there is a certain level of compete. There is a certain level of intensity that you need to have to play and to succeed in the NFL. And the Bears don't seem to find that till at least the second half, if at all. And that's not just me saying that. That's Hall of Fame quarterbacks Kurt Warner and Troy Aikman saying that they didn't come out with the type of energy, with the level of energy that you need to have to compete in this league. They're not, man. They're just simply not. And Thomas Brown is not going to convince me otherwise. I don't know if he believes it when he says it, or if he's just protecting his guys, but they are just not where they need to be from an energy level and from a compete level week in and week out.
Yeah, and certainly it's either that the play calling's not good and not getting the right thing out of the guys, or they're not trying. Probably both, it sounds like, is your conclusion, which
yes.
is probably fair.
Yes.
But both, you know, either both of those things are on Thomas Brown, right?
Absolutely. And his staff. And on coaching. As I keep going back to, and this is something we're going to talk about a lot in the 2 o'clock hour of the show, the makeup of this team, the fabric of this team. What are these guys made of? Who are they from a personality standpoint as a football team? We'll talk about that and just how they fix this. How much of this is fixable. We will discuss next. Bears fall to the Vikings 30-12. It's a Football Monday on a Tuesday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Brian Peronsky, my honorary co-host for the evening. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and we're back with you at 312-644-6767 right after this.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.